It's the Let's Go Eat and Drink Show with hosts Jimmy Santangelo and Bill Allred. I'm your announcer, Zach Caton, and we're coming to you live on tape from the beautifully appointed media center at Visit Salt Lake. Find out more about this wonderful studio and the work they do at www.visitsaltlake.com. Our guest today is the fantastic and formidable Ali Vallarta. Ali is the host of CityCast Salt Lake, the five times a week podcast that explores our capital city. And now, here are your hosts, Jimmy and Bill.
No, it's funny because when I moved here, a lot of people, like, frequently in my hometown, people will be like, you live in Salt Lake City? Like, are you Mormon? Like, do you know a Mormon? And I'm like, first of all, you wouldn't go to Boston and be like, do you know a Catholic? Like, that's weird. And second of all, like, we're literally from a circus town. Like, full of, like, Appalachian snake whispering evangelicals. Yeah. Like, you think Salt Lake City's strange? Like, hilarious.
That's a good way to put it.
Yep. I'm like, no, this is the most normal experience I've ever had in my life.
Another thing I did in Florida, and I forget where town it was, but it was out in the country, and we stayed at a mansion, and it was a woman's name, the family name was Castro. And they invented the Castro convertible bed.
Oh, God.
It was the first convertible bed ever made, the kind that pull out of the wall.
Yeah.
And she had the Castro convertible bed fortune. And she was this old woman, and she had us over to her place for this huge dinner, and she had maids. And, you
know, everybody's strange. It's where all the weirdos are
It's
at,
a weird place.
And I like
place.
That about it.
Can't put her to the mattresses.
No. I used to work for a woman who was heir to the Tootsie Roll fortune, and she lived in this big brown house, and we were always like...
It was the Tootsie Roll house.
You didn't even think to maybe, like, it was too on point, like, maybe go with a nice
too
blue.
On brand. Yeah.
It's like the only brown house on the key. Like, they're all blue and yellow, and like...
Worked for us once already.
Big brown house with white trim, and you're just like, as a kid, you're like, this is so weird.
I went to the Keys for the very first time last summer. We went to Key West for us. A vacation.
Never been.
That's the first time I've ever been
yeah.
there.
And mile zero.
I spent a year in Florida and never made it down to the Keys. Anyway.
It's a big state.
And
it takes like 7 hours just to leave it.
And it is a weird place. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just weird people there. Mm-hmm.
How are we looking, Doss?
We're good? Yeah?
We're rolling.
All right.
Good sound.
It's like funny to watch all these weird people talk about how everyone else is so weird. Like, yeah, you guys.
All right, we're going to get to it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Zach, Caton or Catton or whatever your announcer name is. It's Caton, right?
Correct.
Okay, Zach Caton. Thank you, Zach. I really appreciate it. We're going to get to our guest here in just a second. This lovely, charming woman here, Ali Vallarta.
Nailed it.
But first, let me thank everybody for listening and watching and all of that. If you would like to come and watch us do this live, you can. Just send a request to the Let's Go Eat Show at gmail.com and tell us. Yeah, sure, I'd like to come and see you tape an episode, and we'd be happy to have you.
Share some food and beverage.
Yeah, you can have some wine and cheese with us and all of that stuff. Speaking of cheese, special thanks to Beehive Cheese, our sponsor, and I have to read this copy off my phone because Dawson, our producer, did not give me the copy yet again this time. In a league of its own, Utah's Beehive Cheese elevates humble cheddar to artisanal greatness. With spirited flavors that spark conversation, producing award-winning cheeses that bring friends and family and strangers together.
That's me.
Beehive Cheese earned first place at the 2022 American Cheese Society competition and were named makers of the best American cheese at the World Cheese Awards in 2021, earning the slow food snail of approval in 2022. Beehive Cheese is also one of only seven American cheesemakers to be B Corp certified. That means they meet high standards of verified performance, accountability, and transparency for factors from employee benefits and charitable giving, supply and chain practices, and in input materials.
The last little.
Okay. All right. That's that. But we really do want to thank Beehive Cheese. They're
absolutely
terrific, terrific cheeses. What is that cheese, Jimmy?
This is their promontory. This is their mother cheese that they then encase all their other herbs and flavors. So the Barley Buzz, this is their base cheese.
Ah. Now, our guest that you see, so that we've been sort of ignoring here. This is Ali Vallarta. Ali is a host of a daily podcast, and which is quite an accomplishment.
Thanks.
It's CityCast Salt Lake City. Is that how you you refer to
CityCast, it? CityCast Salt Lake, because I feel like as Salt Lakers, we don't really use the city very often.
We don't. But, you know, I'd like to change that because, you know, when Salt Lake was what it was originally called, Great Salt Lake City.
Oh.
Because the lake is the Great Salt Lake.
Right.
And so it was great. I think we should start referring to ourselves as Great Salt Lake City again. Where are you from? Great Salt Lake City.
I'm actually really into that because I also think it could be a good communications campaign for saving the lake. Like, get people saying the Great Salt Lake more, and maybe we can get more water into
it. Put it in everyone's mind.
Yeah.
Ali Vallarta decided at the beginning of 2023 she was going to do something a little crazy and grab a drink at every bar in Salt Lake County. She drank at 211 bars in all. We're going to talk about that coming up. I'm fascinated by that. But let's just...
So is my mom.
What's your story? Tell me about yourself, and you have a really cool last name.
Yeah, Vallarta.
Vallarta.
Like Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm going in just a couple of weeks.
Nice.
Enjoy it. It's going to be beautiful,
I love
no
it.
Doubt.
I love it down there.
Yeah.
Is it, what, does that mean anything, Vallarta?
No, it's just kind of a family name.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was Mexican. My mom is Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I grew up in Florida in the States, but it's kind of like the whole sandwich. Got like... You know? And let's see, I started working for film festivals when I was like 13 years old, and I loved them. I love movies, I love media, I love to travel. And ultimately what brought me to Utah was Sundance.
To work there?
Yes, which I feel like is a really popular story in this city. Like, people come here to work for the festival. They hire like 150 seasonal staff every year to run the festival. And then they get used to the lifestyle here. The mountains, it's beautiful. You work in the winter, you want to see what you've earned in the summer, you stick around. And then, yeah, it's been 6-7 years later now, and I have the audacity to be kind of a spokesperson for the city, I think, a little bit. We make a daily, around 20 minute a day podcast about Salt Lake City. I mean, really our goal is to just help Salt Lakers feel more connected to the city and to each other, and opportunities to make it better or have fun or understand like a local debate more thoroughly.
I see Jimmy was picking up a glass of wine.
I think
there.
We should cheers to that. That's pretty awesome effort to do.
Thanks.
I understand you like orange wine. Are you getting into orange wine? This is a classic one. This is one of the originals. It's from Italy. Pinot Grigio grape varietal. Usually Pinot Grigio is so clear, but when you lean it against the skins, you get this beautiful color. And we can't call it a rosé because it's not red grapes. And we don't call it an orange wine in Italy because they didn't think of that term, but they call it ramato, and that means to rust, and that beautiful rust color.
I love it.
Nice.
Cheers. It's Pinot Grigio. So good. Can I tasty. Swear?
Fuck yes.
That's a technical tasting, though.
All right. You know, I know a little bit about CityCast just as a concept because I'm a regular listener of the Slate Political Gab Fest, where David Plotz is one of the people on that.
Mm-hmm.
Really well-known, well-established podcast out of, New York or...
D.C. He's in D.C.
He's in D.C., that's right.
Yeah.
And then John is in New York, and what's her name is in Cambridge, or Yale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So... I feel terrible saying what's her name. Emily. Yeah. Anyway, Slate Political Gab Fest, and then David Plotz decided he was going to start this CityCast podcast in various cities, and it's grown quite a bit.
Lot.
How many are there, do you know?
There was actually a recent story in a journalism sort of magazine, I think it was Pointer, that we're one of the few media organizations that is growing right now, which is exciting. You've been in local media for a long time, and you know that it can be somewhat of a minefield.
Mm.
I mean, David Plotz, so of the Slate Political Gab Fest, was also the editor-in-chief at Slate Online Magazine.
Mm.
But before he did that, he was the CEO of Atlas Obscura.
Right.
Do you know Atlas? Do you remember Atlas? Okay. So Atlas Obscura is basically like a pre kind of Wikipedia, like a global atlas of all the strange places.
Strange
in the world.
Places. Okay.
So like on Salt, like if you look up Salt Lake City on Atlas Obscura, you're gonna get Gilgal Gardens.
Okay.
You're gonna get like, what is that? The temple over on the west side.
Oh yeah, the Sumum, where you can get mummified.
Yes. I mean, an interesting idea.
Yeah.
And so it kind of makes sense to me that like CityCast is kind of this blend of what are local curiosities, like embracing local curiosities, acknowledging that local news needs more hype men right now, and also acknowledging that thinking locally and thinking smaller about our communities in a time when it feels like all information is scaled way beyond even our normal day-to-day comprehension,
yeah,
that like hyper-focusing on what's happening in our neighborhoods and in our cities is an opportunity. And I think it's an opportunity as well because people are so fatigued by news. I myself am like just exhausted by it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I think about what I can do with my local city council, or what like even compared to what the legislature does, like what cities can do or counties can do, I'm much more intrigued.
How did you get hooked up with CityCast?
I filled out a Google form.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Very kind of like, I mean, egalitarian. Like, I was sent this Google form application from someone who was a reporter here forever. Lee Haley was on the religion beat at KUER. Uh-huh. And he was like, they're looking for someone to host this show in Salt Lake City, and I just really think you should apply. So I filled out this Google form, made a little audition tape, and sent it, and they hired me.
Way to go. How long have you been doing it?
2.5 years now.
CityCast Salt Lake does about 5 episodes a week, I think.
Yep, we publish at 6 a.m.
How do you guys and who are your co-creators on the show?
Yeah.
How do you guys all decide what to report on?
So we are a 5-person, we were a 4-person team, now we're kind of a 5-person team. So we have executive producer Emily Means, who I feel like your viewers and listeners might know. She worked at KUER, she's been at KPCW, KCPW, she's been worked mm-hmm. at the Tribune. We have a producer, Ivana Martinez, who's like our audio producer. She cuts all our tape because, as you can imagine, turning around an episode every single day of the week is a lot.
Yeah.
We also publish a daily email newsletter that's like, here are the top stories, here are the top events, here's a fun fact about the city. That's written by our newsletter editor, Teri Neria. She is also homegrown, grew up in Taylorsville, has like worked kind of in nonprofits before starting the newsletter. And then we now have someone who named Kate Forsberg, who does ad sales for us so that we can keep doing this for a long time.
So how do you decide?
If Beehive Cheese is interested.
Yes. Beehive Cheese, check out
CityCast. Kate.Forsberg at CityCast.fm.
What is it?
Kate.Forsberg at CityCast.fm.
How do you decide what to, you just get together and bullshit and say, here's what we're going to do this week? How far ahead do you plan them?
We plan about a week ahead. I would say, like, so much of the episodes we make and the decisions we make are informed by our experience living in the city. Like, we're, you know, we're fairly young. We like to go out and eat. We want affordable housing. Like, okay, what does it take to bring all these pieces together? So I always think about, like, a CityCast episode as being in one of kind of 3 buckets. So one is, like, it's important but boring. How can we make it more fun? So like, okay, the city council's budgeting. How do you make the budget like fun and sexy? God yeah. help us. We still haven't figured it out, but we're like working on it, right? Or like, you know, here's everything the legislature did to your life this session kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other bucket is like, there's an opportunity. So like, okay, Salt Lake City is gonna write a new plan for the Jordan River, which needs some love. Okay, before you go and fill out their survey, let's myth bust about the Jordan
River.
That's
one of the episodes I wrote down.
Really?
Here. Yeah, myth busting the Jordan River. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Because that episode, because I used to go along the Jordan River a lot. I was an avid bike rider.
Yeah, it's
and
a
I've
crown
ridden
jewel.
The entire length of that river, as far as the trails go, from North Salt Lake to Utah County.
Yeah, it's Utah Lake to Great Salt Lake.
Yeah, and I've ridden most of that trail that goes along the Jordan River, and I always wanted to find a dead body in the Jordan River. I mean, because every couple of,
we
you know, maybe 10 times a year you'll hear, well, a body was discovered yeah. in the Jordan
yeah.
River.
Damn but, it, I was going to go right in that.
Yeah.
Actually, when I made that as a joke on the radio, and then I started to think about it, I thought, you know, I really don't want to find a body.
No, but, you don't. But, and we want to limit the number of bodies in the Jordan River,
yes,
collectively.
But what are some of the myths that you tried to bust about the Jordan River?
Well, I think there's this idea that, like, it's just kind of disgusting and murky and full of garbage. And, like, for example, our treated sewage goes into the Jordan River, but like the important word there is treated. Like that water is heavily treated, but I think a lot of people think of it as like, I'm not getting in there, that's full of sewage. Mm. And it's like, well, if we think about what it means to treat water, like in Vegas, they treat basically all their water. Like everything that goes down your drain is recycled, you know? Like, don't overthink it, but like, so I think just that, like, when we can better understand a place, we can love it more. I think the Great Salt Lake recently got that treatment. Like, people always thought of it as just being like smelly and briny and gross. And now that it might choke us out with toxic dust, it's like, I would give my life for the Great Salt Lake. Like, I love the, like, we got people holding vigil at the lake. It's like the lake is having a renaissance. And that's awesome.
In government.
Yep.
Praying for rain. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you get rain, is you pray for it. That's
right. Well, yeah, it depends who you ask. But I think, I think the Jordan River has had a bit of a PR crisis in previous years. Mm-hmm. And I love that there's this push to rebrand it as the Emerald Ribbon in our city.
I also listened to an episode that you did, which was entitled, "Wait, People Are Hunting in the Avenues?" and they are, in fact, hunting deer in the avenues.
All kinds of stuff. Turkeys.
I don't care for this concept.
Well, because you ride your bike.
Yeah.
Do you mountain bike?
Yes, I've ridden my mountain bike up in that upper avenues area.
Are you a hiker?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I feel like a funny example too of where you're like, okay, all these young women at a pitch meeting, and I'm like, I went on a date with someone years and years and years ago, and they told me that they hunt in the avenues, which was the origin for that pitch. And I was like, now I can't stop thinking about it. Like, every time I'm up there, like, running with my dog or hiking, and I see a bush, I'm just like, is there someone?
Is there a hunter hiding behind the bush?
Like, I don't know, it's 6 a.m. Like, is someone with a gun in that bush?
Next time.
But what did you
the
find?
The answer is yes.
But what did you find is the reality of that situation?
I think the reality of that situation is, we share trails. Like, we share these trails. And that doesn't just mean that it's the hikers and the bikers and the dog walkers. It means that everyone who engages in sport, and like, one of the reasons we love to live in Salt Lake is urban sport. Like, it's so close, you know?
And you talked to somebody.
Yeah, we talked to a hunter.
Hunter hunts.
Who was phenomenal. He was so
great. He was actually quite well spoken.
He was a great guest.
And he talked about the fact of how careful. He knows that there are people up there biking and hiking, and so when he's hunting there, and he says, I think all the hunters that are in that area, and it's not like they're hundreds of them, or you know.
No.
But is it rifle?
Like, yeah. And I think it depends on the season. So I guess like the key takeaway for me, because I feel like you might have people listening that are like frantically Googling, like, what is where you might wear orange or put orange on your dog if you were in like Fish Lake National Forest in the fall or the spring.
Yeah.
Maybe do it on all trails. Like, maybe do it in the foothills too.
Yeah,
you don't want to end up tied over the hood of somebody's car.
No.
You would have survived,
I mean,
but you gutted
there
them.
Are days, Bill, when I really do, but not generally.
One other one that I thought was interesting, free local stuff.
Yeah,
there's
love free local
free
stuff.
Stuff.
So much good free stuff. Mm-hmm. I think like that if you are in local government or if you have a platform in any way, your job, your priority all the time should be pointing people to resources. And we love to do that. That's our favorite thing to do. And so it's like, guess what? We should all know how to use naloxone. We should all have a naloxone kit on top of our fridge.
Yep.
We could reverse an opioid overdose. And you're riding your bike along the Jordan River, you should have in your backpack. Like, things like that. And I think one of the things that I've learned in the years of hosting this show is I really think this city is full of people who want to make it better. And I think we all have different ideas about what that looks like. But I don't want to tell listeners what they should do, but I want to be sure that when they're mad about something or looking for a resource or trying to get involved, they're in the right place.
We should tell people that these daily podcasts that talk about these topics are very easily consumable.
Thanks.
I mean, they're usually about 20
cheese.
Minutes. Yeah, they're usually about 20 minutes.
Working it, girl.
It comes fast. It comes at you fast. It comes at you in an entertaining fashion.
Yeah, we think we're funny.
Yeah, yeah. And so how do people access?
So we are on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on YouTube. Wherever you like to stream, it's CityCast Salt Lake. Our website is saltlake.citycast.fm. You can also just Google CityCast Salt Lake. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. Come find us. Sign up for our newsletter. Read it for a few days. See if you like it. You'll see links to the show in there.
That's also an easily consumable newsletter.
Easily consumable. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. At the risk of being crude, you could read it on the toilet in the morning and, like, feel ready for the day.
How did you know? Let's talk about this project that you undertook. Ali Vallarta visits every bar in Salt Lake County.
Yeah.
Are you sure you hit every one of them, and how many were there?
I'm positive. So what I did was we did an episode of the show that was New Year's resolutions, and I have recently had this kind of like this personal coup, which is I'm so sick of New Year's resolutions being about self-improvement, whatever that looks like. Mm-hmm. Like, I think to me, a form of self-improvement is just like knowing your neighbors and your community better. I've looked like this since I was like 12. Like this, you know, I'm not gonna change my diet. I'm never gonna drink more water. But I think it's like fun to think about a New Year's resolution as kind of like a challenge or like a project and like creating something for yourself that you can really stick with. Mm-hmm. So I reached out to the Department of Alcoholic Beverage Services, which
list.
I feel like you know them well. I got the list. I got the spreadsheet of all the active bar licenses. And I started there, and then every month when the DABS met, sometimes I would tune into the meetings. More often than not, I would, shout out to Stuart Melling, read his recap on Gastronomic.
The Gastronomic guy, yeah.
And be
we
like-
We need to get him on the show.
Oh my God, he's so delightful too. He's so great. and I would just add those new businesses, mm-hmm. and then if things closed or whatever, I would, mark that they'd closed mm-hmm. or whatever. So I just kept this spreadsheet of everywhere I went, and there were some fun bar crawls embedded in like trying to tackle them all.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what you found when you did this.
Yeah.
Talk about maybe the differences in clientele, differences in price points, differences in products that various bars do. Mm-hmm. Did you ever feel unwanted or dangerous? Things like that.
Yeah, I mean, did I ever feel unsafe is one of the most popular questions that I got, and I think it's mostly because I'm a young woman.
Did you go by yourself, usually?
Only once to two country clubs. I knocked out in one day and I went by myself. Because I feel like it was just easier, frankly, to sneak in and just kind of like, you know, walk in like you own the place kind of
situation.
So you
even did like the Salt Lake City Country Club mm-hmm. or the Cotton, okay.
Yeah, I had like people reach out to me on Instagram to be like, I'll take you. A friend reached out who's a veteran and was like, let's do all the veteran bars, I'll sponsor you so you can come in
VFW
and do that.
Place?
The VFWs, the American right. Legions.
That we must did, have been fascinating.
We did the Eagles Clubs.
Is it still 75 cents for a glass of beer?
No, I wish. But it is like $2.
Little 8-ounce course.
Yeah. I think like, yeah, we hate the federal government until it's 75 cents for a glass of beer.
Yeah. I think
what was the fun crawl? I had like some strangers kind of like reach out via my Instagram and be like, we'd love to plan a crawl for you when you're like kind of in our neck of the woods. Mm. We drank at every bout time in one day, all nine.
Oh, fun.
So in one day?
Yeah. So we got a designated driver. We started in Cottonwood Heights and then we like kind of worked our way and then we ended at the Gateway.
Clever.
Were they different? The bout times?
So we did have someone in our group who was counting the TVs at all of them, so stark difference in weather. Like, West Valley A has 44 TVs, Cottonwood Heights only has 22.
Come on, Cottonwood Heights, catch up.
But they are, and of course, by the time you get to the ninth one, you walk in and you're like, It feels a little The Truman Show, because you're like, it's about time. Like, we made it.
Oh my gosh.
But I think that the like, you know, yeah, depending on what you're looking for, like you want to get a glass of orange wine, I'm going to Cassatt at 15th and 15th.
Did you go to Shooting Star?
Maybe.
It must have been Ogden. It's the first tavern in Utah.
No, because I just did Salt Lake County.
Just, oh, just all gotcha.
So
there's 211 in the county. I thought it was the state.
Just the county. Which is so funny because I think a lot of times people complain about how we don't have enough bars. Mm-hmm. I actually think we have a lot of bars. What we don't have enough of is neighborhood bars. Like Cassatt is a great example. So yeah. You can walk down.
Sugar House is giving a hard time, and those guys are on 11th East and like 14th South. There's a thin little, I think it used to be like, it's over by the laundromat. You know, it's like.
Yeah.
In the Sugar House area, but the neighbors are like, ah, it's going to be too loud. This is like, no, it's not. They don't want to disturb you and get in trouble. They just want to have a nice neighborhood bar.
The tap room isn't there anymore, is it?
The tap room's there.
Is it still
moved,
there?
Though.
Oh,
it
they moved.
Well, from where it used to be on 13th, they're around the corner now.
But is that little tiny
standalone? The tap room's on like 21st now, kind of behind Acme.
That used to be the tap room, that little tiny place.
Oh,
tiny.
Maybe.
You almost feel after a couple of beers, you feel like you touch both walls.
You know, it's the kind of bar that you could that had a display and you could buy pocket combs.
Oh yeah. And one cigarette.
Comb. Yeah.
Pickled eggs.
Yep.
Those were always
amazing.
Good.
Yeah.
That was my neighborhood bar.
Did you have, I mean, I don't know if it's fair to ask, did you have a favorite bar after all of those 211?
Some place
you kept saying, I've
got
to go back to.
To answer.
Yeah.
Because I really think the best bar in Salt Lake County is whichever one is closest to you when you want to drink. Like, I just think they're all great,
fair
you know?
Enough.
So, but I will say some places I really like to go. I really like Junior's. Apparently they're going to be doing some remodeling next month. I think it's perfect just the way it is.
That got bought by Bob recently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I really like this new bar called The Green Room on 4th South. It's like kind of really dark in there, which I just like dim lighting.
Is that an extension of Alibi?
Yeah, same owners.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
And then have you been to Bob's Redwood Lounge? I think it's in Poplar Grove.
No.
It's just called, I think, the Redwood Lounge, but it is cool. It's kind of just a piece of history. Like, you go inside, and it's kind of a perfect dive bar, but my favorite thing about it is from the outside, it's been in their family since, I think, 1965, and you can tell it used to be a house. It has a pitched roof, and then you can see where they built, like, expanded around it to build the bar. That kind of stuff is cool. Like, the neighborhood charm, the history. Like, to me, that's more fun than...
I was kind of like the Twilight Lounge myself.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's where I had my first beer when I came to Utah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Had a fake ID.
I was going
to say, how old are you? It's Ali Vallarta. It's CityCast Salt Lake. Just look for it wherever you get podcasts.
That's right.
Jimmy's going to do a little splash of news, and we'll wrap things up here.
All right.
Us a treat, too.
I did. I brought you a bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast sandwich on sesame toasted, because I think we have had a bit of a bagel drought in this city for a while. There's a new bagel shop called Baby's Bagels in the old Canella's building.
Babies.
On what, 5th South?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so good. Go in there and get a sandwich.
I'll try some of that in a minute.
Okay.
All right. I have three quickies in a splash of news.
Okay.
Three quickies. Limited release. You guys know the show Hot Wings? The show Hot Wings?
Yeah.
They collaborated with Truly Hard Seltzer to bring you Hot Wing Sauce Hard Seltzer. This was released around the recent Super Bowl football game and is a continuing product. Seltzers are sold in 16-ounce packs of four, and some folks are quoted on social media saying, quote, I'm going to drink this with a side of ranch. Well, if you're from Buffalo like me, you would have blue cheese. So they're incorrect.
It sounds terrible.
Bunch of jokes.
Sounds awful.
Yeah.
I want one.
I'll try anything.
I'll try anything.
I want one right now.
I want one right now.
Disgusting.
In stupid food trends, have you heard about chickles? Chickles? So basically a chickle is a pickle bundled in a disc of crispy cheese. Shredded cheese is melted and crisped on a griddle.
Brilliant.
And when still pliable, wrapped around a pickle spear. It can be made with mozzarella, Munster, cheddar, Swiss, or beehive cheese.
Yeah.
beehive cheese.
and other meltable varieties. And some cooks add slices of salami or ham to the mix before it's rolled up. Okay, at least somebody's doing it right. And the last one, wine in space.
Wine in space, okay.
One of the strangest stories of the Apollo program had to do with NASA planning to send wine to outer space along with other foods and beverages added alongside tasteless powder protein. A type of sherry was selected that could withstand the harshness of space travel. That's a good choice. Unfortunately, NASA was forced to pull the plug on the project due to public outrage against giving astronauts alcoholic beverages. And that's your splash of news.
What?
Well, you can't give us, don't give an astronaut a beer. Just don't do it. You know, bad things can happen. You remember that woman who traveled from Florida to the Kennedy Space Center? She was an astronaut.
Okay.
And she had an affair with another.
Mark Kelly's brother.
It was
Senator Mark Kelly's brother, who's also an astronaut.
I think so.
Oh my gosh.
And there was a falling out, and she put on an adult diaper so she wouldn't have to stop driving, and she drove from Florida to the Houston Space Center to confront him, and she was gonna kill him, I think, or something. It was a while ago, so I don't remember all the details. But I think they made a stupid TV movie about it, even.
Lifetime, probably.
Yeah, it's Florida.
Well,
Florida. Your home.
There's
state.
A little Florida man in all of us.
I think so. Florida.
Allie,
pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure to meet
so
you.
Fun
chat
to be with
you.
You all.
Thank you very much.
Again,
this is delicious.
CityCast Salt Lake. Look for
That's it.
There are five. Check out the newsletter, the daily newsletter. It really is a easy read and tells you what's going on the podcast. And there you go. All right. Well, I want to thank all of you for listening. Thanks, Dawson, for producing the show. Thank you to Beehive Cheese, of course. If you want to join us for a recording of the show, you can send a request to theletsgoeatshow@gmail.com. Thank you to subscribers and sponsors when we get them. And that's about it. Out.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Let's Go Eat and Drink Show with Jimmy Santangelo. You can contact Jimmy at www.thewineacademyofutah.com. As for Bill Allred, come here, yeah, you. It might be best to just leave him alone. Comments, questions, or angry complaints to the management should be directed to the Let's Go Eat Show at gmail.com. The Let's Go Eat and Drink Show is produced by Dawson Dow. Our theme music was composed and recorded by Doug Wild. Recording facilities as needed are by the Visit Salt Lake Media Center at www.visitsaltlake.com. The show is a Double Plus production. I'm Zach Caton. CityCast Salt Lake Podcast. Does that say five times a week? Five times? I'm glad we don't do that.